joint meeting of the Senate and House Resources Committee together. We're a little late. It's 3:55. Members currently present are Senator Kukesh, myself, Senator Wagner, and co-chair Representative Ramirez from the House. We expect to have some more members coming. We got all balled up here not long ago, so please be patient with us, and we'll be patient with you. So with that, I'll turn it over to Irene Anderson and let her make the introductions. Irene, okay, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I'm Irene Anderson from the Bering Straits Native Corporation in Nome. I'm the chair of the Minerals Commission at this time. And our commission was formed by this body in 1986 and has made annual reports to the administrations and legislatures since then. A number of the findings and recommendations have seen action. We've seen some positive action. We've seen growth in our industry. And at this time, I'd like to start with Carl and Bartley and have everybody else on the commission introduce themselves.
Sure. Carl Hahnemann, Manager of Public Environmental Affairs for Tech Pogo.
Bartley Quinley,
Usabella
Coleman. Stratton
Heath,
Bristol Environmental.
Greg Weischer, I also work for Bristol Environmental and for parent corporation Bristol Bay Native.
Del Atlas, Fairbanks, Plasma Lab. Rich Hyde with the Green Street Plain.
Rich Hughes, staff of the Minerals Commission.
Lance Miller, Chief of Economic Development Council.
And we thank you for this time that you set up. And I'll turn it over for the formal presentation to be made by Carl.
Thank you.
Thank you, Irene. Chairman, Senator Kukesh, Representative Ramos. Irene said it might be formal. I think it'd be a little informal. But we'll just what I'd like to do is just share with you highlights of the recommendations of the commission as they respect issues that resource committees would be interested in. Just a brief overview of the industry in Alaska as it exists. We have four operating mines, the Usabelli Coal Mine, Red Dog Lead Zinc Mine in Northwest Alaska, Fort Knox, just north of Fairbanks, and the Greens Creek Mine down by Juneau. Pogo is nearing completion of construction in Interior Alaska. And we also have a number of advanced projects throughout Alaska. Rock Creek out by Nome, Nixon Fork, Donlin Creek in the Kuskokwim area, and Pebble Copper down on the Alaska Peninsula. A couple of our recommendations relate to tax structure and kind of the fiscal regime in Alaska. And so I'd just like to summarize for you our perspective of the taxation regime as it applies to mining in Alaska. Of course, we have the mining license tax. It was first enacted in 1913 by the territorial legislature. As we went through statehood, it was a very important component of the resource policy at that time and was installed at 7% net profits for major operations, payable from all operations in the state regardless of land status. So that's one issue that is it's important distinction of regardless of the land status of an operation. Red Dog is on private land. Greens Creek is on federal land. Fort Knox is on mental health land primarily. But regardless of the land status, all operations pay the 7% net profits tax. We also pay mining rents and royalties. This was a major factor at statehood. And there was a section of the Statehood Act 6I that required that the state receive compensation for development of its minerals resources. I'd just like to kind of present a summary of the debate that occurred about that and whether what the state was receiving was appropriate for its development. In fact, 1981, the Attorney General's office questioned the state policy and ask that the legislature look at that issue of income to the state from mental development. So in 81, 82, the legislature passed the law, tried a modification, but that was litigated. It went through several years of litigation, 83 through 87. In 1987, then, the Alaska Supreme Court ruled that, in fact, rents or royalties needed to be charged to mining operations where they hadn't been prior to that time. And so in 1989, the legislature passed a bill to kind of a belts and suspenders approach to charge both rents and royalties to satisfy this many-year litigation. So now there is a process where there's rents charged per acre per year on all mining claims on state land, as well as a royalty of 3% net profits. And I just think it's real important to point out that this debate, the legislation, the Supreme Court ruling occurred prior to any major hard rock mining industry in Alaska. That, you know, back in 1986, 87 period, Usabelli was the only mine in Alaska producing coal. There weren't any hard rock mines. And so we think this establishes a good model for how tax policy should be imposed, that is, stable in advance of major industry expansion to allow the industry to understand the terms under which they make their investment. We look, the taxes in Alaska are applied not to the exploration or the development expenditure components of the industry, although those components are important and they provide a lot of jobs in rural Alaska. Taxation comes from the value of the mineral production. And you can see here in the middle 80s, we had stable production coming from the Usabelli coal mine. Then a significant increase here in 89 when Red Dog and Greens Creek came on. And then relatively stable until Fort Knox came on in 1996, 97. And then recently in 2004 and now subsequently in 2005, we've had another increase in the value of mineral production, primarily because of world markets improving product prices. In fact, those product prices during the early years of production from Red Dog and Greens Creek, those are both primarily zinc-producing mines. The zinc price was, during the feasibility level and construction levels, was up here in the 60-70% range, and it was price subsequently decreased over the years, you know, pressuring those projects, pressuring their profitability, pressuring their ability to pay net profits tax. But recently, prices have rebounded, and they are now significantly more profitable than they were. The same occurs for Fort Knox, constructed and developed when prices were in the 350-400 range. For many years, prices were below that and pressuring them significantly. And that's reflected then in the payments that ultimately come to the state and to the municipalities from the mining industry. The lower bars here are payments to municipal governments through payments in lieu of taxes or property taxes. The middle bar is the rents and royalties component of the tax structure we talked about, and the top bar is the mining license and income tax, which is highly variable based on the profitability of the operations. In 2004-2005, now we're going to see another substantive increase in return to the state. With that little background, I'd just like to then discuss these six primary recommendations of the Minerals Commission. They relate to NPDES primacy, permit efficiency, mixing zones, tax considerations, geological and geophysical mapping, and power supplies. On the NPDES, Alaska is one of the few states that does not yet have primacy. Of course, last year the administration and the legislature here asked that the DEC, primacy is when our Department of Environmental Conservation has the primary role for reviewing and issuing NPDES or National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permits. And those are the primary water discharge permits at mining operations. And all the other states, except four, take that responsibility upon themselves. Currently, EPA Region 10 issues and processes those permits in Alaska. And it, as a result, with primacy, there could be much improved efficiency coordination amongst the technical members of the group, timing of project reviews. And the legislature recognized that last year, asked that DEC file an application for primacy by July of this year. And so just with that background, I apologize for this.
Just a minute. I'd just like to recognize that Senator Elton has joined us, and so has Representative Elkins. And I got those names right this time. Thank you.
Good. Go ahead. So our recommendation is that we just follow up with that to support ADEC as they pursue this primacy option, and that the legislature would ensure appropriate funding for that. They'll be coming through in the your budget process. On permit efficiency, certainly DNR's large permitting team has over the years has been a big help and is greatly improving coordination on the state side. DEC has added staff. They have reduced their application backlog. But still, we must improve the coordination with federal agencies. And we certainly don't need additional other processes to be added in the permitting process that we have. But there are six approved positions in DNR that have not yet been filled, or at least as the date of the report. I understand now that some of these have been filled, but we also have the permitting challenges and the organizational challenges as a result of some of the reorganization in DNR. And so as a result, there is some strain on the availability of human resources in the permitting agencies. And so our recommendation is to continue to use high-quality staff, third-party contractors. We need to recruit and fill those outstanding vacancies. We need to make sure that our senior-level vacancies are filled with experienced, qualified people. We need to make sure that the state recruiting mechanisms are capable of reacting to market conditions to attract these qualified people. And we need to assume our federal responsibilities and work with federal agencies to improve accountability. And most importantly, we think the state should ask for a periodic report from the agencies on the status of their permits, permitting review, whether the timeliness of these reviews, whether there are pinch points with the federal agencies that need to be addressed, and kind of help us work together to continue to improve the permit process. A mixing zones. Existing regulations prohibit mixing zones in anadromous and resident fish spawning areas. And there's a number of issues here kind of from a technical side of why the existing mixing zone regulations do not provide a structure that allows for flexibility in looking ahead at how to permit mining operations in a way that minimizes impacts as well. And so DEC had proposed some language on mixing zones that allowed there to be a mitigation approach, allowed there to be evaluation of the potential impacts, and kind of allowed science to guide some flexibility into those regulations. And the Minerals Commission certainly supported promulgation of mixing zone regs that would include that type of flexibility and potential mitigation. So So that was a key recommendation of the mixings of the Minerals Commission.
Well, Representative Elkins.
On a whole, are you satisfied with the existing regulations and regs?
And can you clarify what you mean by existing regulations?
Well, the ones the governor proposed. Or do you support the bill that's up?
We do not support the bill that's up. We think that is a significant step backward in terms of flexibility in the way of recognizing science to evaluate impacts and permit impacts. The regulations that the governor has proposed, we think, also fall short in what's needed in terms of incorporating science and flexibility into the permitting process. So,
are we going to hear from the mining industry one of these days on the bill that's moving through the House?
Yes. Yes, although the Minerals Commission itself is not, is only to make recommendations. Certainly, members of the Minerals Commission and the Alaska Miners Association, Council of Alaska Producers, would certainly be providing comments.
Thank you.
Like the record show, Senator Dyson, so join us.
Sorry, late.
Right. That's. Our recommendation with respect to tax considerations, we've seen from the map that mineral development can provide private sector employment in all areas of the state, but a substantial portion of this area is still in the unincorporated areas of Alaska, areas that are not in organized boroughs. And the concern of the commission is that the formation of the boroughs presents a very large uncertainty with respect to the tax regime in these areas of potential mineral development. Certainly the mining industry is willing to pay its share, willing to pay broad-based taxes such as property tax, but industry-specific taxes such as the severance tax we think is the wrong approach and could serve as a significant disincentive to development and could fact be used as a tool to help preclude or halt development. And that uncertainty just makes investment decisions out in that portion of the state very difficult as they look to multi-billion dollar projects and uncertain as to whether and what the tax regime might be. So commission's recommendation is to look at that issue critically, look at the issue of unincorporated areas of Alaska, and attempt to establish a tax policy to provide stability and equity in those areas and perhaps that involves the payment in lieu of taxes concept to help strengthen that concept so that the projects can negotiate with local municipalities as might be required. But in whatever form, we need to improve the tax certainty in those areas to allow those projects to proceed. Geophysical and geologic mapping, it's been a key element of the Minerals Commission's recommendations over the years, and the state's response in that regard has gone a long way toward improving the mapping coverage that we have, but still what's done to date, we're one of the poorest mapped areas in the world. We don't have a good database to show to mining companies that are interested in investing in Alaska. And we've averaged about $400,000 per year since 1993 on this mapping program and only accomplished 6% of the state land entitlement so far. So there's still a lot of unknown. There's a lot of other potential lands that need to be mapped. As a way of a data point, the governor has put in a fiscal note for geological and geophysical mapping this year that includes a $350,000 increment for superficial mapping between the Delta and Canada along the potential pipeline corridor. Our recommendation would be to increase the rate of funding for this geological geophysical mapping, as well as to provide an increment of an additional $150,000 over the governor's request to complete the bedrock mapping, map not just the permafrost and the gravel in that corridor, but also the hard rock faults and the hard rock lithologies that are necessary to use these maps for potential mineral exploration. So we think as the state is doing that in this area, it would be very efficient to do that as a package and help complete this increment as well. Power supplies is another area where we think the state could provide some significant leadership, which over time could lead to supporting the mineral industry. This is a real long-term issue. Major mines do require substantial power supplies. Many mines must generate their own power. But working off the existing grid could help areas such as Pebble or perhaps Donlin, perhaps other projects, except right now our grid is the cost of baseload generation on the grid is of significant concern to all power users. We think coal-fired generation offers the ability to create stable long-term power, and so our recommendation is that we need to work together to look at improving the baseload coal generation on the grid system. There's talk of coal mines developing, exporting coal, but we have a real opportunity to build some power plants to replace some of the gas generation or augment the gas generation in such a way that we get off of the world, Henry Hub type pricing for our energy and can better have stable, low-cost power. And when that happens, then on the rail belt, it'll be a benefit for all the rail belt in the interim. But as new projects come on with a stronger electrical grid, those projects, even as POGA went through the challenges of getting power for its project, they'll allow those incremental development projects to be more feasible and to be able to brought online in a shorter time span. So that concludes the details of the issues, the most important issues that we wanted to highlight with you. Certainly our report has a whole number of other recommendations. They're shown here on the slide. There are a number of other issues that are important, but we thought we'd just highlight those top few. And certainly if you review the report, have further questions, we'd be happy to respond and answer questions.
Senator Elton.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I know I should know the answer to this, but what's AMREF?
AMREF is the Alaska Minerals and Energy Resource Education Fund. And it's a education program, a partnership between the state of Alaska and industry to get resource-based, Alaska-specific resource-based education into Alaska schools.
Okay. And then one other probably more comment that the testifier can respond to if he wants to, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it's especially helpful when you outline a problem and then make recommendations. And many of them I agree with, and some of them I have questions about, and we can get into that later. But the one comment that I had is the recommendation on permitting. One of the recommendations was that we require of the department that they give us a status report of permits. And I guess just my comment, you can respond or not if you want. That seems like, bureaucratic make work. And I guess the expectation I've always had from whoever the permit application may come from is that we're going to hear if there is a problem. And I guess I would rather have the people in the department focusing on working on a permit rather than working on a report about permitting. And it's a comment that explains my philosophy, and you don't have to respond to it if you don't want to.
No, I'm happy to. I think your concern is valid. You know, that issue was discussed at some length amongst the commission in terms of because we certainly are not desirous of a make-work type approach. So maybe Charlotte has something she'd like to add.
Charlotte McKay with the Bristol Environmental and Minerals Commission. What we're looking for is really just a very succinct summary of, are they actually getting permits out? How many are applied? What state, what process are they at, and state in the process? And if you are a permittee and you're running into obstacles, you may or may not come to the legislature, because there is potential for retaliation from the permit writer if you've elevated it to the point where you don't even often elevate it to the commissioner, because you may win that battle, but then they'll hunker down on you somewhere else and make your life difficult. And so there is a desire to have them showing they're making progress, as well as a desire that within the agencies, that if permit writers are doing something that sets a precedent or is highly controversial, that they report that up and there be some policy discussion so that permit writers aren't setting policy instead of commissioners.
Senator Dyson.
Thank you. Forgive me for being late. I have overlapping responsibilities today. I was interested in your comment about no industry-specific taxes. And last time I looked, many, if not most, of the companies that are investing here in Alaska in mining are Canadian firms. And I was wondering if there is an industry-specific tax structure in Canada, if you know, and
Over the last, I should know, but I don't. I have had that information in my data file in the past, but I can't respond directly right now in terms of what the tax regime is in Canada.
And I certainly not speaking for other members of the legislature, but I for one am delighted that with all the mining activity that's going on in the state, and I want to figure out how the state, who puts a fair amount of money into infrastructure and so on, and we without a income tax or something, how do we the state recoup the expenses that we do? Mapping, exploration, and all kinds of things that the industry needs. And it seems to me that it ought to be at least revenue neutral, for the state.
Well, I guess to clarify, there is a industry-specific tax, the 7% net profits tax, mining license tax, that is paid, as well as the 3% net profits tax on state land. As well as corporate income tax. Now, so I guess the Minerals Commission recommendation is mostly in the context of local municipal governments being able to apply a industry-specific tax in a way that it either unduly burdens a project or is used as a lever to preclude the project.
Okay. So I inferred that you were recommending that we get rid of the industry-specific taxes that we already had, or
not at all. This is specific to the issue of in the unorganized areas of Alaska that don't have a local municipal tax regime. There is a black hole of uncertainty there.
That's some historical precedent for trying to kill the goose at the golden egg.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We got one question. We currently have a request, and I think we scheduled Senate Bill 203 for a hearing. That's a bill that creates a kind of one-stop shopping for permitting. Has the commission taken a look at that, or do you have any comments on that?
Um, I know it is under review by the Alaska Miners Association, but I don't know. Is Steve here? No. So they'll certainly be presenting a perspective on that. You know, the large mine permitting team certainly has gone a long ways toward the one-stop approach. That is, they're coordinated. They work together as a team. You know, and given their overlapping regulatory responsibilities, and not necessarily overlapping, but complicated and charged under different regulations and statutes, you know, they're certainly working in that direction. In our report here, there is a approach to recommend one-stop shopping for small remote camps, exploration camps, the kind of thing where you go and you get your food service permit and your domestic waste permit and your kind of land status, land impact permit through one shop. There's lots of opportunity for coordinating that. Mm-hmm. As to the larger picture, all projects one stop, you know, the mine permitting process now is necessarily very technically oriented and very detailed. We'll have to look at the bill specifically and see, you know, maybe it has further recommendations. We'll have Steve Burrell respond and provide some input.
Thank you. Further questions? Boy, you guys get off easy.
Good. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank everybody for coming, and appreciate your coming. Appreciate the update. And with that, we're going to adjourn the meeting.